What's up, everybody? Happy Good Friday. I am your host, Silas Forrester, and although usually I am having simple, down-to-earth conversations with local church pastors, I do sometimes throw out some book recommendations. And given the context of the podcast, usually these books have something to do with the local church specifically. And the last time I recommended a book, it was called How Can I Love Church Members with Different Politics. And this was by Jonathan Lehman and Andy Naselli. And this particular book, which if you haven't, by the way, checked out that episode or gotten your hand on that resource, I would highly recommend it to you. It's such a helpful book with thinking through Christians loving one another, having community and love for one another amidst different politics, which is really important, obviously, in our day and age. And this book and the one I'm going to recommend today in particular, it's from a specific series from Nine Marks, and it's called Church Questions. And this is a series of books that seeks to provide ordinary Christians with sound and accessible biblical teaching by answering common questions that people have about the church. And so each volume offers biblical answers and practical application with the goal of nurturing healthy church practice and healthy church commitment. And so I love that this series. I've read a couple of them so far, and I have found these books, amongst others, in the Nine Marks different series that they put out, just to be really helpful and encouraging and thought-provoking. So even if you're not big into reading, this Church Question series of books are they're short, they're easy to read, they're like little booklets, but again, they will profoundly encourage you regarding a variety of church questions about baptism, discipleship, different attributes of God even, or how can I, you know, faithfully study my Bible? It's just different common questions that people ask. And so a lot of really, really great resources. And today I want to recommend How Can I Serve My Church by Matthew Imadi. And without giving too much away, because I want you to read it, he opens the book with a great illustration about a basketball player that wants to quit the team because he doesn't get a lot of playing time on game days. So when it seems to matter the most, he doesn't contribute because he's not a starter, and he doesn't feel like he's needed, or that he doesn't feel like he contributes anything to the team. And so Imadi uses this as an example of how some Christians feel every Sunday, right? That because they aren't on the music team, or because they're not a pastor on staff, or maybe they're not a part of some sort of volunteer team, you know, they don't really contribute to the needs of the church, and therefore they don't feel needed or like they're able to help, you know, on quote unquote game days, on Sundays. But what if you didn't need a specific title in order to serve the church? What if you didn't have to be a starter, right, on Sundays in order to love your church well? What if God has graciously given each person gifts in order to serve the congregation? And this is exactly what this short book is all about. So if you are struggling with how you can serve your church, or if you know someone who is struggling with this very question, right, this is just a great resource. And I love the summary of the book, right, that's located on the back. I like to read these every episode. And the back, it says, "Believers display the greatness of God's kingdom to a hostile world when we selflessly serve each other and those around us." In this short booklet, Matthew Imadi explains the vital roles that we play within the church through acts of service, including hospitality, ministry, and evangelism. We bless our communities, and we long to hear Jesus one day say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And as I mentioned previously. I don't want to give too much away and give too much detail because I do really want you to get your hands on this book and take advantage of this great resource. But one thing I will say is that if you are a follower of Jesus and you are a member of a local church, the Bible has plenty to say about how we can serve our brothers and sisters. And you may not have a title or a paid position within the local church, but you do have a significant role to play. And I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 12. So I'm just going to take some time and I'm going to read this starting in verse 12. Again, I'll be in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to start in verse 12 and just kind of listen to the language of the church body and how each member makes up that body. Okay, so starting in verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For we are one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet there is one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor gain the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If our members suffer, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, if you are of the body of Christ and individually members part of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, in various kinds of tongues, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." And then later on in 1 Corinthians, we get to love and how we can have all these gifts, but if we don't have love for one another, then, you know, kind of not necessarily what's the point, but, you know, we need love for one another as we practice serving our church. So as this passage gets to, there are so many members, right, that make up one body. We need each other to function properly. And so with all of this being said, I am reminded of one of my favorite quotes from the book, which is, "As Christians, the most fundamental act of service is to assemble with God's people for corporate worship on the Lord's day," right? We are not just saved to be in isolation with ourselves, but we were saved into a body, into a community, into a family. And so we need one another. And so one of the specific ways that Imani mentions we can serve one another is through discipleship. And he would go on to say that discipleship happens when we are willing to give and receive instruction from other believers. Christians need other Christians to help them faithfully follow Jesus amid so many dangers, toils, and snares. And this is so true. And the temptation can be strong, right, to believe that if I'm not a pastor, if I'm not somehow on staff, or if I don't have a title, I'm not really that important, right? And likewise, there are some people who may look down on others for not being on an official team to serve or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, no matter if you're currently a pastor or if you don't serve in any official capacity, or you know, you're not a named volunteer, or maybe you're just in a place where you just don't know where to start in serving your church more practically, I think this is a huge encouragement that, hey, start by faithfully assembling, faithfully gathering with God's people, and ask the Lord to show you, you know, where can you use your gifts? What gifts has God given you? And get your hands on resources like this that will just get you to think more carefully about how can we serve our church wherever you are. And so I hope and pray that, one, this passage of scripture is helpful in how you think about you individually in your local church, that you are needed, the church body needs you, right? At our church, it's fairly small, so it is a little easier to see who is and who isn't there regularly. And I know I am just greatly encouraged when I regularly see my fellow brothers and sisters. And so I trust that the same would be for you. And I would hate for those listening to fall into the temptation that, well, I must not matter, I'm not important to my church because I don't serve, you know, in any official capacity. But no, the scriptures are clear. We need one another, and we can start serving by faithfully gathering together amidst other things. So get your hands on a copy of this book. It's really, really helpful. It's very thought-provoking on answering the question, how can I serve my church?